Holy, holy,
holy,
Lord God Almighty, all that works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy,
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 merciful
and
mighty,
God
over
all
and
blessed
eternally.
Let's mark our books at number 667 will be the song of invitation after our lesson. Once you've marked that, let's turn to number 228. And after this song, Gene, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Thank you.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home.
If I ever climb to the heights of life where the soul is at one with God,
the way of the cross leads home,
the way of the cross leads home,
leads home.
It is sweet to know as I onward go.
We are so thankful for you being here tonight, and
I'm so thankful that the weather let up so that I can safely bring our equipment over this way and have it to be presented tonight as I wanted to present this morning. But I wanted to present a couple of points here, and I could see that we had a visitor with us today, and he was evermore on the edge of his seat listening. And when I got to a certain point, I looked up and I saw the clock being chapter 2 and down at verse 5. In reference to the eternal purpose of God and the eternal glory of God and the house of God which he built and the hope that he told the people that they would be in. They would be in that house. They would be blessed as a result of it. And down in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, you'll notice right in the middle of the chart, pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Peter 3 and 15, Paul tells Timothy that I want to come to you. I want to see you very soon. But he said, if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, in the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. He identified the church of God as the house of God in that passage of scripture. And so the church is that house of God. It is the church of the living God, and thus it is the ground of the truth. And when we find that to be the case, we look to the Bible, to the teaching that it has for the Lord's church. Notice back up in point number three, Jesus is the builder and the head of the church, and also he is the savior of that body, which is the church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, when Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? And they told him, and he said, upon this rock, Peter, that you've confessed that I am the Christ, the Son of God. Flesh and blood didn't show you this, but my Father revealed this to you. And thus he said, the Father revealed it to you, told you who I am, exactly what I am. I'm the Son of God. I'm here upon this earth to teach God's will and teach God's blessing. Notice in John chapter 12 and verse 49, he says plainly, the words I say to you are not my own, but my Father gave me these words to command of you and teach you. And thus he spoke for the Father's will as he came here on earth and taught the gospel of God. And so it is the case that as we read there in this regard, we read where Jesus promised to build his church and that he would, in fact, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, place of the dead, will not transgress against it. The place of my dying would not do away with it. In that same particular passage there in Matthew 16, Simon Peter reaches up to the Lord and says, Lord, listen, come here, come here to the side. Let me tell you something. You will never be put to death. You'll never be put that way. You'll never have that case. And Jesus had just revealed to them that he would be put to death, that he would die, that he would rise again, as the Father had told him that he would rise on the third day. And thus he said, I will rise again. But Peter says, no, no, Lord, just this will not happen to you. No doubt he was thinking in his mind about the fact that how was the church going to be built, and yet he was not going to be around to see it built. How was that going to be done? He didn't see his power within it and the power within the Holy Spirit guiding him into that way where he could build the church by teaching people who would be converted and added by the Lord to the church day by day, those being saved, according to Acts 2, verse 47. And so it is the case that Simon Peter had a lot to learn. And Jesus turned to him and said, Simon, what you're saying is from the devil. But you are giving me the words of the devil. And this is not the way it's going to happen. This is not the way it's going to be. And I'm going to follow the Father's will no matter what. I'm going to follow the Father's will. And that was the idea that Jesus said to Simon Peter, that, get thee behind me, Satan, he finally said. Get thee behind me, Satan. Because these words are the words of the devil. This is the words of the devil. I said, the gates of Hades, the gates of the death, will not prevail against this church being built. This church is going to be built. We're in the church today. We're not a building. We know it's not a building. But we do know that membership that we have in the church of our Lord came about because we were converted to the Lord. We trusted him to forgive us of our sins. We trusted him that we were buried with him in baptism. We were raised to walk a new way of life. And we tried our best to walk that new way of life along the way, and sometimes we didn't try our best to walk that new way of life. But in 1 John chapter 1 and down at verse 10, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what the Lord wants to do. That's what the Lord of heaven wants to do. And he will hear us, and he'll hear us and recognize that. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, reference is made to Simon and his sin in getting the power of the apostleship. He wanted to offer money to buy that power of the apostleship. And yet he was told, thy money perish with thee. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Thy heart is not right with God. He was not doing what was right in that matter. And so he turned away from that way, said, would you pray to the Lord for me that none of these things you've said may come upon me? And he was credited with that. It was so good for him to say that, what he said. And for you and me, when we find ourselves going against God's will today, as baptized believers, we have an opportunity to confess our sins. He's faithful and just, he says, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Unrighteous thinking, unrighteous planning is what gets us into the temptation to do the sins that we do. And so he wants not only to forgive us of our sins, he wants also to cleanse us from all unrighteous. Unrighteous thinking, unrighteous planning, unrighteous deeds, unrighteous people that are around us that give us into temptations to do the unrighteous things and sin. That's what we can be cleansed from. And he said he cleanses us from all that. So it is the Lord has had that way. In regard to this matter, we find a wonderful blessing from the Lord. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, in the middle of the chart, you'll see we're governed by divine authority. And in that passage of Matthew 8, 28, 18 through 20, Jesus told the disciples plainly that I am this way, and I have been blessed, and you will be blessed as well if you follow the Lord's will. If you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, if he is baptized, he believes and is baptized, will be saved. And that was assurance that he gave to them, and that was the hope that he gave to them. And then to the idea of worship. When the worship of God was talked about, Jesus there in John 4, 23 said that we must worship the Father in spirit and in truth, that he seeks true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I ask you, since we're here tonight and we don't have that visitor with us tonight, to raise this question and challenge ourselves that much more. Do we find ourselves in the worship of God truly doing it? Do we find ourselves at times getting away from the idea of God and getting on into the ways of what's being discussed in the preacher's sermon that he presents, rather than remembering what he said and what Jesus has said about that way of life that he wants us to follow? But Jesus Christ wants us to be that kind of person, and it is the case that that is the way. That authority that he has is that which he's done. That authority will be matched up by the heart of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went away, he would send another comforter unto them, a comforter that would guide them into all truth. The disciples would not be left comfortless. They would not be left without a guide. They would have a guide in the Spirit of God who would come into them and remind them of the things that Jesus had said to them, and thus they would now know the things that he had said once again. And they would remember, yes, that's the one who first told us that. And these are the words that we need to tell to the people. And that's what they did. They told that sacred gospel message to people. And so it is that in the worship of God, they had worship and opportunities to be people who served the cause of God. And in Mark 16, 15 and 16, when he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not will be condemned. It's clearly stated that that was something to be done by the individual who realized from the preaching of the gospel I'm yet in sin. I'm yet with my sins. I don't have them forgiven. And that's exactly what happened to Simon, to Apostle Paul, as he was on the road to Damascus. When the Lord stopped him on that road, many people think that he was saved, and he's preached that way, that he was saved on that road. But actually he was told, go into the city, and there be told what you must do. It's in the city that he was to go, and there you'll be told what you must do. This man was told that he would have great things to happen in his life. And he did have great things to happen in his life. He was a wonderful, wonderful man. And he was a man who was committed to what the Lord had said. And thus he talked about what the Lord had said. And in reference to that matter, you find that in the worship of God, he got on the subject of singing. And the first century church there in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, he tells them that they were to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He did not mention an instrument at all in that regard except the one that is inside the heart. From the heart we're to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. Not a harp, but a heart. Within our soul, we find ourselves worshiping God and bowing before Him as we worship Him. And that's the way that He taught them that they were to do as they went forth in the world in which they lived. There were things that they did in righteous ways, and that was the teaching of the Spirit of God to him, and he was reminded that Jesus had formerly taught the truth to him. The work is divinely appointed. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, and 1 Peter 4, verse 11, these things are divinely appointed, divinely set up. The things that we read in the Bible, this is the Word of God. This is the teaching of the Lord. This is the practice that the Lord wants us to follow. And thus we find ourselves wanting to do that because it's divinely appointed. The destiny of the soul will be for the church of our Lord, will be heaven itself. In 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5, reference is made to the fact that once again, we find ourselves in a hope for the future, a hope for the reward of the future. And that is the way that we should go. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16-17 tells us plainly that we will find ourselves in a place of death, and in that place of death, we will find ourselves looking to the arrival of the Lord and the bringing of the Lord from the dead, that we will come forth from the dead and be rewarded as a result of that time. What a great thing we have, a great thing to go, and that's a good idea. The Church of Christ is said to be unique in this chart, and the word unique is defined as having nothing like it. There's equal, nothing equal to it. The Church of Christ is unique in its way. And when we talk about the Church of Christ, we're talking about the body of Jesus Christ, the Church of our Lord, the way in which we are following. And Romans 16:16, I close with that, which is in the upper third of the chart there. He tells them to follow. He says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The Church of Christ salute you. Mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, and avoid them. They are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Sometimes our young people get caught up in those particular things, of enamored by the things that are said, the things that are done like that. Notice the description that is given there. Those people who come in and teach another doctrine, another message, he says, mark them that cause divisions. He didn't say withdraw fellowship from them at that point. He said, mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine, and then avoid them. Mark them because they're teaching message that is not the message of the Lord. It'll take you away from the Lord. It'll take others away from the Lord. And that's what he's saying to them to do. We are obligated today to teach the message of the Lord, teach it in a kind way, teach it in a way that's biblically oriented. And when we do that, we have a message that is clear and a message that is true and a message that is unique because it is just one of a kind. When Jude wrote, as our study on Sunday morning Bible class was affirming this morning in Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, he said, "When I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that we should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints." There was only one time that that faith was delivered. It's written down in God's book of books. It was taught by the apostles to the apostles, to the apostles by the Holy Spirit. And they, in turn, taught it and explained it to others. It was the message of Christ Jesus that he had told them. And the Spirit was a reminder to them of the truth. What a good thing it is to have the uniqueness of the church to be a part of our lives and our great hope. We would hope that others would come and be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. And we find our ways of being people who urge others to do that. By radio, by the television programs that are put on, by the variety of things that we do morning by morning in the radio stations that cover this and covers all this area around here. God bless the effort for good. And thank you for being here tonight. If we have any anybody subject to Jesus' invitation tonight, would you make your way to the front while we stand and while we sing together?
The voice of the Savior says, "Come." The cross where he died is in sight. He now at the cross there is room. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Father, we're thankful to thee for this fruit of the vine, the symbol of the blood of our Savior that was shed upon that cross. We thank thee for that sacrifice. Pray that those who partake may examine themselves and partake in
pleasing manner to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Announcements, other you have a men's business meeting in a few minutes?
Miss Jane and I were talking about the chart tonight. She remembers helping her dad to write out charts like this and everything. They wrote out on bed sheets back in that day and time. And how they marked it so well. This good brother here, this brother Steve Hudgens, he was the father-in-law of Brother Mark Copeland. And Brother Copeland got these, and he photographed these particular charts as they were. He said that Brother Hudgens wrote for himself 300 different charts like this, and that he would have made requests throughout all the world, over 5,000 copies that he made in his lifetime. And he finally passed away when in his 80s, and all, and his son-in-law picked this up to use. But we noted that there must be something that was done. A straight line underneath the lettering, that's for sure. But it's so straight on the top of the letters that it was a straight line, straight edge that was up there too. Must have been, because it was so appointed that way and so done that way. And I appreciate a lot of all this, and I'm glad to have it available tonight to you. God bless you in every way for good.
Let's turn to number 343. 343, and after the song, J.L., would you lead us in prayer? Thank you.
Take time to be holy, speak calm with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessings to see.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity that we have come tonight to hear another portion of your word. We ask you to guard and forgive us for our sins.